Welcome back to episode 4, season 1 of West Coast XC. I'm joined here with our friend Todd.
Hey, everyone.
Thanks a lot for coming, Todd. I went to San Diego for Foot Locker, and this really happened. We had a coach who saw me at the finish corral and said, "Hey, I really enjoy your podcast. I'm looking forward to the next one." And the person next to him, who I know also, said, "Do you have a podcast?" I go, "We do. Follow and subscribe." And I wish my wife was at the meet too. I wish she was there to hear that, because she probably thought I made that up, but it's true. So please do subscribe on YouTube and follow on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We really would appreciate that. And today, Todd, we're going to wrap up the cross country season in a lot of ways. One, by talking about the last meet, Foot Locker. And then we're going to share our 5 highlights this year when we take our cameras and go to meets.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. Let's do it.
Okay. So the Foot Locker race was on Saturday morning, 2 races, girls first, boys second. And in the girls race, Zariel Macchia of William Floyd High School in New York took a big lead.
Yeah.
And Todd, this has been kind of a theme for the last couple of years at these big meets, Foot Locker and NXN, where a girl takes a really big risk. They're usually always, I should say, not usually, always legitimate contenders. So you can't just let them run away.
Yeah.
And they use a strategy, and sometimes it's successful, sometimes it's not. And that's what Zariel did. She took a big lead, to like a 3-second lead at the 1-mile mark, and she still was in the lead halfway through the race. And she has been to 4 Foot Lockers, so you got to take her seriously. She's been on a number of under 20 cross country and track teams for the United States. She's going to go to BYU next year. They're the defending champions.
They're a powerhouse.
Yeah. So again, you got to respect her start, respect her, her race. Eventually Elizabeth Leachman and Victoria Garces caught her, and Elizabeth won the event last year and she defended her title.
It was kind of one of these, having watched a lot of college races this year also, it kind of, for the girls, kind of had a little bit of a college vibe. There's always the second pack of people in the college races that after the first group goes out really, really fast, they just spend the rest of the race chipping away, chipping away, yeah, chipping away. And they find that one opportunity to make a move when they see the other person slowing down a bit. It's really interesting to see that at the high school level. I mean, we'll talk about it with the boys as well, but it's the high level running with the high school kids now is just absolutely outstanding.
It is. And it's, you know, it's a strategy that's really thought through, because they're trying to break these really talented young ladies that can kick you down at the end and try to break that down. Victoria Garces finished 2nd for the 2nd straight week. She was 2nd at NXN, and she plans to go to Duke next year. I want to give a shout out for Zariel Macchia, though, because sometimes when kids do that kind of risk, then they get swallowed by the group and then they're in 8th place or something. And she hung in there. She was in 3rd. I got a picture of her with her arms up in the air because she was thrilled that she got in the top 3. And so that was awesome.
That's cool.
And the West Coast athletes, what Foot Locker does is they do a top 5, top 10, top 15 for All-American. They don't go top 7. My theory is because there's only 40 kids, so they try to make it a little more. That's my theory. I don't know if that's true. And Jalen Williams of Eastlake High School in Chula Vista, San Diego area, finished 9th. And we had talked about that for the last couple of weeks, that she has such a late start to her season because of injuries and such, that she might be pretty fit by now. And she did great. And then after the 15th spot, they do what's called honorable mention. And that included, for the West Coast, Cassidy Armstrong of Ballard, Ariana Hickey, local gal from Bishop School. That's in La Jolla. My hotel was in La Jolla, so I saw the school bus go by. And I was like, hey, there's Bishop School. Erica Kirk at Vista Marietta, Nicole Alfred of Ratchet Cucamonga, and Chiara Daly of La Jolla. And so girls are well-deserving of recognition for having an outstanding season.
Yeah, I know we were looking at Chiara Daly earlier. I think she wasn't feeling great coming into the race. So.
Yeah, I read that she wasn't feeling well at Foot Locker West and just was just happy to qualify. And she just wasn't, you know, I saw her at the 1-mile mark and she was struggling at that point. Yeah. And I'm like, ugh. And then when she they came back from down the hill and they come back towards us. She wasn't in the race. So felt bad for her. This is her hometown. And luckily she's a junior and she'll be back and with a vengeance, right? She'll be back next year.
Yeah.
Foot Locker Boys. The photo you see above me is of Jack Raffaello to the left, the winner, Tamara Gavinas in the center, and then we have Juan Gonzalez to the right. Tamara Gavinas of Phillip Academy at Andover in Massachusetts won. When people, the prognosticators, were predicting the race, they didn't really have him winning, but he finished third last year. He was the top returner. So he kind of had a low-key season, and I think he maybe was just been waiting for this moment, and he took advantage of it.
Yeah, cool. And I think one thing when you looked at the guys' race, as opposed to the girls' race, the guys all stayed in a pack up to about the halfway point, and then everyone just kind of started making their move. And I think sometimes it's tough for some of the kids because if you get caught in that pack, the course was seemed looked really narrow, at least when I looked at it on video, and compared to a lot of the other races that are really wide open. And you can imagine if you get caught in the back of that pack and people start making their move. Maybe some of the kids just unfortunately they're kind of wrong place, wrong time in a race.
Yeah, there were comments made about the course being a little bit narrow in some spots. There's like 40 kids in each race, and people were making comments for the CIF San Diego section can be a real issue with the narrowness of the parts of the course. Juan Gonzalez had a great season. He was undefeated up until NXN and
Wow.
finished second. He's undecided where he's going. And Jack Grafeo of also from Massachusetts is going to go to Colorado, finished third. And then West Coast athletes, we should mention, is second team All-American was Vincent Recupio of Bishop Blanchet. He finished 10th at Foot Locker West, so he was the last person to qualify, and he finishes eighth overall. I was really pleased to see that because he's been really an amazingly elite runner since his freshman year, which is unusual for boys. Boys mature a
Yeah.
little bit later, and he ran. Brooks PR as a freshman finished seventh in the 3200, or I think it was the 2 mile. And then in this picture above my shoulder here, you see him finishing third as a freshman, right
Wow.
there, right to the left there. Almost won it as a freshman in the state of Washington in the 1600. So he's been running at a pretty high level and was kind of waiting for this kind of breakthrough moment. And so he finishes second team. And then we have third team was Trey Caldwell from De La Salle, experienced athlete, and ran this course last year and finished 12th. And he'll be attending Colorado with Grafeo. And honorable mention includes Max Douglas of Corona Del Mar, Taylor Dowlick of Paso Robles, Cade Brownwell of Mount Spokane, Josiah Tostenson of Crater, and Connor Lott of Clovis North, and Aiden Stephanopoulos of Los Gatos. Lots of West Coast kids represented in the boys race. So that was really cool.
And all those guys had great season. We've seen them at multiple races this year.
They have great seasons. Fantastic kids. I've seen them all over the place at different races. Congratulations to the girls and boys concluding their season. Get some rest, get revved up and ready to go. Then on Sunday, Sadie Englehart announced that she is not running her high school track season. What'd you think of that?
Was a little surprised. I mean, by somebody who, well, I guess maybe I was surprised and not surprised. Given the trend of kids, high school kids signing NIL deals and doing things like this, and she obviously knows where she's going to go to school, North Carolina State next year. There's one school of thought. It's like, what was there for her to prove in high school track? Maybe win the 3200, but she's already running Olympic trials, so it's. In some ways, it's kind of not surprising in a way. She was just amazing in the cross country season. So.
Yeah, she has done a lot. She has the course record at Woodward Park, which is a big deal. They run the Clovis Invitational. They run the CIF meets there. I mean, state meets. So there's a lot of opportunities for fast kids to run that course. She won the D2 cross country title 3 times. She has won the state meet in the 1600 in track three times, freshman, sophomore, and junior year. She's also won the 800 her sophomore year. She won both races. That is not easy to do in the California State Meet.
No,
So,
that's a tough double.
yeah, I don't know if people understand this. Like, I'm in Oregon. We have, we'll watch the 4A, 5A, 6A races, and there's a lot of races that can build time between the 800 and the 1500 we run in Oregon. And then Washington does it over 3 days. They just have one meet in like 2.5 hours, and there
It's
isn't much, there is,
everyone.
there's no divisions. It's just one big California
Right.
State Meet. So there isn't a lot of time for her to rest. So she was able to pull off that double, which is really hard to do. Last year, she won the 4x8, which was an incredible race when
Including dropping the baton.
she dropped the baton Hitchell, picking it up. And, these girls are running the last leg of the 800 are pretty darn good. And she caught him, which was amazing. And she won the Gatorade Player of the Year, not just for track, not just for cross country, but for all sports last year.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Just to give you an idea, Cooper Flagg won it for the men, the boys, and he's having this great freshman year in basketball in Duke.
Yeah.
So maybe the number one draft pick next year. So that's the level that she won in. So that's incredible. So best of luck to Sadie this spring. She's going to run unattached in open and club races, and run with some pretty fast women that'll help her with her times and get her ready for North Carolina State. Good
Yeah,
luck,
wish her
Sadie.
the best of luck. And I think even for us, I feel even more fortunate now that we were able to see her up close in a lot of the races this year.
Yeah, she's fantastic. So now we're going to rehash and kind of go over our cross country season. I have this quarter. Ready, Todd? You
Okay.
call it, and if you call it correctly, you get to go first. Okay. You ready?
I
Call in
guess
the
the
air.
first tails.
Call in the air. It's on the ground. What do you got?
That did
What's
not go
that?
well. Tails.
Tails.
So I'm going first.
Yeah. No, what did
Okay.
you call it? What did
I
I?
called tails.
Tails is first. You're going
Okay.
first. Sorry,
I was like,
I lost my
this is.
coin, so I lost. I didn't hear you. So we're gonna
Right.
go fifth thing to the first. You'll go fifth. I'll go fifth. You'll go fourth. I'll go fourth.
Excellent.
Okay.
So before we start, I will say this was my first year really doing a lot of this, particularly photography. Not as a parent. Both of my daughter graduated last year, so I had a really great time with this. My number five pick was being at NCS this year, which is a meet I've been to for the last 7 years or something like that, in Hayward, California. I really usually watch the Division III meet because that's the division my kids have competed in for all these years. It's a division where we have Hannah Thompson, who's dominated that for the last 4 years. Camp Olindo's guys and girls kind of are their staples both there and at the state meet. But I have a total homer pick, which is this year was the first time Newark Memorial's boys and girls team both made it to the CIF state meet. And Kenji Kawabata, who's a junior at Newark Memorial, won the Division III boys race. So it's kind of weird not having my kids in the team, but it was awesome to have the school that I followed for the last seven years really do amazingly well.
That
And
is fantastic. And you're telling me that Newark is, has a social economic situation that's not maybe equal to the other schools in the area. Is that correct?
it's a public school. We're surrounded by a bunch of schools like in Fremont and stuff like that. So kids don't transfer into the school. It's relatively middle class, lower middle class. And the coach there, Tyler Jorgens, has really built it. Every kid there has probably lived in Newark for most of their life. So, it's really great to see them do well at that level and
That's
qualify.
fantastic. The Bears? Newark Bears?
Cougars. It's all
Go
right.
Cougars.
You
Apologize
can
to
go
the
edit that one
Newark
out.
Memorial Cougars. Apologize. So that's your number five pick. My number five pick is I went to Mount SAC as a photographer for the first time. I'd been there as a high school athlete, I'd been there as a high school coach. I live in Oregon, so I hadn't been there in a really long time. Oregon schools don't go to Mount SAC because like 4 days later is their league meets. That would be kind of a rough trip and a rough race to recover from. So you don't see Oregon schools there. So I hadn't been there in a long time. And it was an amazing experience. I have to tell you, there are 82 races in 2 days, and I took pictures of 38 varsity races in 2 days. The other thing you should know is I grew up in Los Angeles and I'm a big Dodger fan. That was day one of the Dodger Yankee game.
Dodgers fan. Oh.
And day two was the second day of the meet, was day game two. And I stood next to this meat worker that had a phone around 5 o'clock and I was getting the play by play. It was so stressful. Everybody was wearing Dodger shirts. It was really fun for me being in Los Angeles during that time. And at the hotel, they were showing the game on the big screen in the kitchen, or the, you know, where they have free breakfast in the morning. And they had like the sitting room, which was, you know, just a Best Western, but they had a sitting room and all the kids were watching the game over there. Though I don't know if they were from Los Angeles. They're probably from Northern California, because you would not spend the night there if you're from LA. But anyway, it was very festive. And I helped put on this meet called Nike Portland XC. So I'm fascinated by the meet in terms of like how they run 82 races in 2 days. And they have a 2 hour like rest period during Saturday. There's 2 hours off where they take a break, the workers get a break. So they cram all these races. Check this out, Todd. The boys run, and 7 minutes later, the girls run. The
Whoa.
girls run, and 13 minutes later, the boys run.
So they just
So
run overlapping races the
they
whole time.
do. So there's like the course has one side, they're over here, and the other race is on the other side. And in the photo that's over my shoulder, it's Serenity Fausto of Santa Fe. If you look, you can see that there are like hundreds of boys waiting for the gun to go off. And she made it safely across, was not a problem. Actually, about two-thirds of the girls' race and two-thirds of the boys' race make it safely across, but the other third get run over. Well, not
Get
run over, but
swallowed
they
up.
get kind of swamped, surrounded by the next race. And parents who are only there for their kids' race will like scream at the meat people saying, "Hey, you can't start the race. You can't." And they're not going to, they don't really understand that they're not going to stop the race. And you just watch these kids get engulfed by the next race. And they're going, you know, the gun's going off, they're going fast. So I was just amazed at their coordination. I actually, the guy with the phone keeping track of the Dodger game, I stood next to him because I knew that if I was looking through my camera, I wasn't going to get run over by anybody, because he knows which way they were coming. Like, he wouldn't yell at me because I was right next to him. I got to know him pretty well. And so I stood next to him and took pictures. I mean, it's crazy. There can actually be three races at a time, you know? And so you have kids finishing, kids going across, kids coming towards
Oh,
me.
yeah, you could have some of the slower boys with 7 minutes there. Yeah, totally.
So I just stood next to him and got to know him pretty well. And it was the first time they had taken out Poop Out Hill, very controversial move by Mount SAC, trying to make it a little bit of a faster course and make it finish on the track, because they have this beautiful screen. They've redone the stadium. I had seen the new stadium since they've done it.
It's
And so
high-end
they had two
stadium.
course records. They had a course record by Abby Arrington of South Pasadena and then Trey Caldwell of De La Salle. Then those course records were broken a month later at CIF Finals by Holly Barker and Griffin Cushion Tesoro, Holly Barker of Tribeca Hills, because it's a brand new course. Even though they've been running the course since the 1960s, it's technically a brand new course. But so you had court actually course records were broken throughout the day because it never run this
Yeah, I
course.
believe it.
So that's my number five. What's your number four?
My number four is Clovis, which it's now 30 races across 2 days, including the JV and freshman races, which was a lot. And I think I was one of the few people to kind of do what we do, photography wise, on there on the first day. Everyone I talked to, most everyone showed up on the second day. And the invitational race, which is kind of the highlight of the meet, is on the second day. And so with all of that, it kind of made the merge that everyone traditionally looks at Clovis way more meaningful, because all the races were split across. And I think some of the races on the Friday felt, I frankly felt maybe a little shallower than usual for Clovis, but I think in the coming years they'll fill it in with a few more schools, and it'll be competitive in every hour by hour. But I think for me, it was you were texting me that Friday going, "Hey, this guy from this other group wanted a picture of Amelia Sarkeesian from one of the smaller school races. Do you have one?" And that was kind of a theme for Clovis for me, because it was the first time where I think some of the pictures I took really went beyond the small group that I normally distribute them in. So going to places like Youth Runner, there was a, a place that follows Riley Blade because they follow a lot of the Southern universities, kind of putting together a post with Sadie Englehart using yours and my pictures with Sadie and Riley talking about how they were competing the whole thing, how during the whole race. And I got really lucky. The one picture that I got that I didn't include in my online role, but I was the second day I was on the backstretch, kind of that area where I sit when you're there in that area where you see the people coming down the hill. And I saw these three girls just kind of running their cool down. I just take pictures of them because it was in between races. Well, it was Sadie Englehart and her two teammates kind of running cool down. They're having a great old time. And they came by and I just said, give me a smile. And all three of them turned to me. They flagged the peace sign at me. And it was absolutely fantastic. And you go out and I threw it up on Instagram and just shared it as a story. And then when Sadie Englehart reposted it, all the kids that I know, like from New York, were like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And that's frankly kind of how I felt too. So
Yeah,
it's pretty
you're
cool.
famous.
Yeah. Well, for 24 hours at least.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's really nice. I used your photo. I posted your photos. You're in a spot that w most photographers didn't weren't at, and the kids just loved them and really responded positively. So thank you for those photos. It was great.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was really tiring, but it's moments like that that make it really, really rewarding.
Yeah. So my number four is going to go up to Washington, West Coast, right? And I saw these four young ladies race several times. It's Sophie Rodriguez, Victoria Rodriguez, both from Mercer. The photo I have up has Sophia and Victoria. Victoria to the left, Sophia next to her. And then if you go farther to the other side, is Electra. She's standing just right of Emily Wisniewski, who has a medal. Electra is from Peninsula, Electra Higgins, and then not in the photo was Cassidy Armstrong, and the four, and she's from Ballard, and the four of them just raced each other. I got to see them race several times, and at Bellarmine Prep, Sophia Rodriguez and Cassidy Armstrong had this big battle. Victoria didn't run that race that weekend, but Sophia came away victorious. And then about a month later, I went to the John Payne Invitational in Tacoma, and Electra Higgins and Cassidy Armstrong had a battle, and Electra Higgins won that. But then I have to add, the week later was Hole in the Wall, which is a big meet in Washington. And I was at Clovis with you, so I didn't get to see that meet. And in that meet, Cassidy beat everybody, Sophia, Victoria, and Electra at Hole in the Wall. And then a month later at the state meet, which I didn't get to go to because I'm in the Oregon state meet, they're in the same 3A division. And Sophia was able to beat all three of them, Electra, her sister, and Cassidy. But then I got to see them race at NXR in Boise, where Sophia finished second, Victoria finished fourth, Electra finished fifth, and Cassidy finished 12th. And Sophia, Victoria, and Electra made it to NXN. Cassidy missed out, but then she won Foot Locker West a couple weeks later and qualified and finished 17th at the regular Foot Locker in San Diego. And Sophia finished eighth at NXN, Victoria 12th, Electra 13th. It was a really great showing by the four Washington athletes on a national level. Victoria's going to go to Wake Forest next year, and Electra's going to be going to SMU in Dallas, Texas. So that was my number four.
And Sophia's, she's a sophomore,
She's a
right?
sophomore, yes. And
Yeah, that's
Cassie's a junior,
amazing.
so we'll find out where they're going later. What do you
Cool.
have for number three?
Number three is for the first time, I went to a couple of CCS meets. I went to the CCS Championships, which is held at Crystal Springs, which is one of the iconic courses in the Bay Area. And it was the day where basically Eli Fitchin-Young from Santa Cruz. He busted the course record that had been set earlier in the year by Trey Caldwell, but he really had destroyed it. And one of the things with him is even before the race, I'm kind of walking down the hill to get into my spot, and there's these people talking about, are we watching Eli run? Are we watching Eli run? Is Eli really fast? It's like a little kid, and his mom's trying to swim. Yeah, Eli's really, really fast. And it's kind of surreal when you're seeing people watch the race talking about the kids in a certain way. So that was I think he was Division 3, Division 4. I can't remember. I'll try and remember that. But at the Division 5 race
Division
was a
four.
face-off between Division 4. The Division 5 race was a face-off between Landon Pretrie of Menlo and Benjamin Bowie of Crystal Springs, and they got really close to breaking the course record, basically 30 minutes after that.
Wow.
And it was amazing. They had kind of torched the course, and the Menlo boys won that meet with some insanely low number. And that was kind of one of also the big introductions for me to the Menlo guys. They ran in sweepstakes at Clovis, but they just absolutely were really hitting their stride with CCS. They cruised through the Division 5 state meet, and they made it all the way to NXN. I think it's just awesome for a little school like Menlo to make it all the way through all that and have that national showing. It was fantastic. So that was one thing. Seeing those three guys do that and seeing Menlo as a team perform like that was just incredible.
I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, but I do these summer visits, and Landon invited me to his practice, and that's where they practiced. They were at Crystal Springs.
Cool.
Yeah, for those people that are not familiar with Crystal Springs, it's this incredibly hilly course.
Yeah, it starts with this waterfall drop.
It's
Like,
yeah,
yeah.
it's
It was
nuts.
odd that day, actually. Only one set of kids fell. I thought more were gonna do it, but it was crazy.
So my third is going to the state of Oregon and Oregon's girls 5A. And the reason why I picked that is Emily Wisniewski of Crescent Valley won her fourth title. And that's never been done in Oregon. We talked about this in California when Hannah Thompson was trying to do it for the fourth time. There were three other girls that had done it in California, but in Oregon, it's never been done. So when she did it, that was the first time. And Emily is a very humble person. Not very demonstrative at all during the finish line. As a parent and as a coach, that's great. That's what you want to see. As a photographer, you want to see a lot of emotion, right? And she came across the finish line and went like this. And I was like, yeah. And so that's the picture you see there. That's what that means. That's her fourth time. I thought that was really cool. The other thing I want to say about the Division 5A race, this is incredible. I'm going to give a big shout out to Summit High School girls in Bend, Oregon. They had won 15 state titles in a row. 15. Now I have to tell you, Todd, they were in 5A. We also have 6A, which is the biggest schools, and it's a little bit more competitive because there's more schools than that. And they won 6A too. So they got moved up to 6A and won that, and then got back down to 5. They would toggle between 5A and 6A. It didn't matter what division they were in. They would win against the Jesuits. They're really tough in the
Wow.
6A, and then come
Yeah.
down and beat the Craters of the 5A. But they did not win it this year. Crater girls broke the streak, and that was pretty awesome to see for Crater to win it. And we want to give a shout out to Summit for having this amazing streak, five in a row. So that's my number three.
That's awesome. And I know the Crater Boys also had a great season as well.
They had a great season too. So it's nice to give Crater girls a shout out too. What is your number two?
My number two is in addition to covering a lot of high school stuff, I got to cover a couple of college things. I went to the Big West Championships. I went to a couple other college meets, but it probably was my single favorite photo of the season. I was at UC Davis's Stump Invitational, which is a really small. It's the first time they've held it up in Davis. Schools like Santa Clara, UC Santa Cruz, a lot of the local schools come. And the girls actually run a 5K because it's relatively early in the season. And Maddie Cackley from UC Davis, and hopefully it's right here above one of my shoulders, as she's coming across the finish line, and I could see it as she was coming, she glances around, and I'm going, oh, she's going to do something. And as she comes across the finish line, she kind of gives one of these poses that you see in a press in a media day as she's leaping across the finish line. It was just so cool. It's just one of these things. She's got a beautiful smile in it, but to do it in race as you're doing it's pretty cool, and to be there to capture the moment was just fun.
That's true. I mean, as a photographer, you love when you see kids do stuff like that, and you're able to get it, and they maybe like stretch out their shirt or their
Yeah.
racing top or do something, and I like it when that happens.
Yeah, it's great to be there to catch the picture.
It is. And I have a similar situation where the kids didn't demonstrate victory. It's just that they ran a very close race, right? When you're like seeing, it happens a little more in track and cross country, but when it happens in cross country, you feel pressure to make sure you get the photo. But my number two is Woodbridge Invitational, the boys championship race, in which Owen Powell and just of Mercer Island up in Washington and Josiah Tostenson of Crater in Oregon, which is ironic. I'm down in Irvine, California, taking pictures of Northwest kids. They're coming to the finish along straightaway and they're coming together and they're going to go to the wire. And as a photographer, I'm like, oh my goodness, don't make sure it's not blurry. Make sure it's, their heads aren't cut off or, And you can see the photo here. I think it turned out okay. I was pretty happy with it. And Owen Powell just got Josiah right there at the line. And I want to give a shout out to Josiah. He's going to be running at the University of Washington next year. And Owen is undecided, which is very interesting because his mom and dad are the head coaches at Washington. Yeah. So I'm super fascinated. He wasn't at the Bellarmine Prep Invitational, which I talked about earlier with
Yeah.
Sophia and Cassidy, because he was on a recruiting trip, not to Washington, but to another school. And then my other photo is Max Cervi Skinner of Coeur d'Alene, which is very close to Spokane. It's a Northwest school. The three of them finished one, two, and three. And you'll see in the photo that they're, seem to be getting along nicely. And they're, these kids from the Northwest. And there I am in Irvine, California, taking pictures of local kids from my angle.
Yeah. And we saw Tostenson also at I think Clovis as well. I think he won the invitational race
He
there as
did win
well.
it. He did. And the new thing is the kids will go like this money thing, which I don't, And he took a pic. I took a picture of him doing that. Somebody else did it earlier. I think, I don't know. Somebody else did it. And I go, that must be a new thing. And so congratulations to Owen Powell on that race. Okay, Todd, now the drum roll is what is your number one highlight of the cross country season this fall?
So my number one highlight is maybe it's a little disappointing to the athletes, but one thing that was absolutely awesome for me was meeting not just working with yourself this year, but meeting some of the other photographers that I used to see a lot of their stuff online. I got to meet Jimmy Sue. I just kind of walked up to him at Big West and just said, "Hey, I'm Todd." He goes, "Yeah, I know." I was
Oh,
like,
that's
"Well,
cool.
you know," and
Yeah.
so that was really cool. People like Nick DeGeorge, he was at Clovis, Big West, CIF, he's at Cal Poly. He's an awesome creative.
Yes.
At some of the UC Davis meets, Leroy Yao, who does a lot of professional sports pictures, who I really, really like. And like he's same thing. He's like, I said, Leroy, he goes, Todd. I'm like, oh, you know who I am.
That's
And
so cool.
some of that is it was just so it's a little self-serving. It made me feel really good that what we were doing was able to connect with so many people, but that the creatives who are really quite legendary in high school and college sports really kind of recognized what we were doing, and that just felt really good.
You know what's nice about the photographers is that you, especially at track meets, more than cross country, you're just there for a long time, and you have lots of time to chat up all the photographers and get to know them. It's really cool, and I'm new to photography, so I love to ask them questions like, "Hey, like Deanna Turner at Fresno, she at the state meet is taking pictures of the discus through the net, and I'm like, how did you do that? I want to learn because because." Otherwise, you have to take it so far away, and it's not a great photo from the discus. And if you can get it inside, like when you're right next to it. And she taught me how to take pictures through the net, which I'm sure many people in the audience know how to do, but I'm new to this. I did not know that. So you learn from them too. They're so darn helpful.
I think that's one thing everyone who is listening and anyone who we talk to is I had people during the season saying, how did you do this? What were your settings? And you just talk to them. And I did that to other people as well. I unfortunately bought a new lens, a very expensive one, because Leroy, Davis was like, this is my favorite lens. And yeah, he was right. It's amazing. Some of the stuff I'm doing with basketball right now is with that lens.
Wow.
And it's great that everyone just is really open about with everybody,
Yeah, very
because a
friendly.
lot of what we do is you're trying to be there to capture the moment. And I that I just think is really, really cool. The whole community really, everyone's really open and helpful with each other.
You know what I say, Todd, which is I think throws people off, and I don't know why, but it's almost like you're a competitive athlete. Like you have this moment and you've got to get it. And like, for instance, like the Owen Powell and Josiah Tostenson moment, those kind of moments where they're coming in together. I will say to everybody that's taking pictures, good luck to everybody. Good luck to everyone. Because, you know, you can get a little bit lucky too and unlucky also. Sometimes a meat worker will step and move their hand and point, and it's just unlucky sometimes. It's not even that whether you're a skilled photographer or not. It's just you can get super lucky and unlucky. And so I always wish everybody luck. And a couple of people turn their heads to photographers and look at me for a second, like, wait, what? But I just think, you know, if there is some luck involved and you just wish them luck, you know?
One of the other stories I had was we were at the state meet. It was the Division Four race where it was in between the races, so I was talking to Jimmy Sue. We were on the backstretch, and we just sat there talking, 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 and we looked up, and we didn't hear the gun go off. And it was the race where I can't remember the girl's name, but she was way ahead of the pack.
Was it Tiara Daly?
It might have been Kiara Daly.
Tiara
Division
Daly.
Four girls. And we went, oh, the race started, and she was like halfway down the track, and we're like, uh-oh. But it was just one of these things where, you know, like I said, I really love being a part of the community, talking to people, and encouragement to all the parents and amateur photographers out there. Please reach out to us. We're happy to help share our knowledge.
Yep, absolutely. So my number one thing is to be a little bit self-indulgent. I do this thing. My daughter is my advisor, my daughter Anna. She's the one that talked me into doing this about 3 years ago. And she said, "What are you going to do in the summer? There's no content." And I go, "I don't know. You're going to lose followers," she told me. I'm like, "Oh, okay. You should go visit schools and go to their practices." And so we did like a story, you know, just write in two years ago, just writing the story, and I was able to keep track of it. Then last few years, I've done a Google survey, and the either coach or the athlete will fill it out, and it tells me when their camp is, when there's their downtime, their down period, when what days do they practice, where do they practice, and then I have to look at my summer schedule and see what's reasonable for me to do, and then I schedule my summer out. And I hop in to my tiny Toyota Corolla and I drive all over the West Coast and visit these practices. And so I visited 20 different practices this summer,
That's
and
crazy.
seven of those teams won the state meet in their
That's amazing.
respective states. There were several teams that finished second. There were several schools that had individual champions, but I'm just going to focus on the seven, Todd. Here I go. Please let me indulge myself. This is all not one trip, by the way. I didn't go to all these places on one drive. This is throughout the summer, using Portland as my home base. We're going to start from the top of America and go down south. Okay. So I went to Sehome High School in Bellingham, Washington. For those people unfamiliar with Bellingham, it's about 30 minutes from the Canadian border. It's absolutely beautiful. The kids ran a Saturday long run. We're talking a 2 hour run along the mountain ridges there at Bellingham, looking over the San Juans and the Puget Sound. It was unbelievably stunning.
Wow.
And in my photo, you'll see the kids slapping the stop sign. That's their tradition at the end of their long run on Saturday. And the Sehome girls and Sehome boys were 2A champions for the state of Washington. Then in Spokane, I was actually going on a family vacation to Banff and Lake Louise and that area, which was actually Jasper was in a huge fire like 4 days later after we left. It was a
Oh,
terrible thing,
wow.
but we were coming back through Spokane. I was only there for one day. There were several teams that filled out the survey. So my daughter, again, my advisor said, "Why don't you do a group run?" So I did a group run in a city I'm not familiar with. I'm not familiar with the city. So then my daughter said, "Well, reach out to a school. How about Lewis and Clark? They might know something." So I said, "Okay, reach out to Lewis and Clark, high school coach." He says, "I'm not going to be there that day, but my kids will be happy to help you." They got a hold of me. We met at a park next to their school. Other schools from Spokane showed up, but Lewis and Clark were my team captains because I didn't know where they were going. And they ran through this beautiful neighborhood to this wonderful park next to their high school. And I took pictures of everybody. But Lewis and Clark boys were the 4A state champions later. So I got a chance to meet them. So that was really cool. Now we're going to head down to I-5 to Mercer Island. It's in Seattle area. It's actually an island. You have to cross the I-90 bridge to get to it. And Mercer Island is a high school there. It's not too far from downtown Seattle. You can see the downtown Bellevue and University of Washington from there. And they ran at their park. This is where they have their cross country meets, and they just did an easy run. Then afterwards, Todd, they hopped in Lake Washington. And you'll see a picture here. I think that might be of Owen, Owen right there, jumping into the lake. I'm not sure if that's him or not, but there were kids brought their jet skis. They were jet skiing around.
Skis.
Their coach had her birthday that day. They had a birthday party and they sang happy birthday and blew out candles. It was a really fun experience to see the Mercer kids jumping in the lake afterwards. That's just
That's pretty
there's
cool.
your West Coast experience, right? So now I'm going down south to Oregon. I went to a Jesuit Oregon's practice, and their practice was at their high school because they had a middle school camp afterwards. So they
Wow.
did their run, and then in the picture you see here, you see a couple of the Jesuit kids leading a group of middle school kids for their team camp they had for the youth, and that was kind of cool to watch the kids become like coaches and leaders, and that was fun. Another school in Portland is Lincoln. Oh, I didn't mention that. I have to go back up. Mercer Island won the girls and boys 3A, both genders. Jesuit boys won 6A Oregon, and then Lincoln invited me to their practice. They did a workout on their track, which is in downtown Portland. You can and the picture I show here is the skyline of Portland behind these girls, and they won the 6A Oregon state meet later on in November. So that was cool. And now we're going to go down to California, your neck of the woods. I went to Jesuit of Carmichael's practice, and their coach, their assistant coach, let me borrow his bike, and I got to ride my bike with Walter Lang, Walt Lang, the legendary coach of Jesuit. And we
Wow.
went along the American River and watched the boys run at 6:30 in the morning, super hot in Sacramento. And the
Yes.
American River is beautiful, beautiful river going through the city of Sacramento. And I got to just talk with Walt Lang, who's been coaching since the late 60s. We had a couple of like 6 degrees of separation from my experience on being an athlete in in California as a younger man. And so that was really cool. And then you head down farther south, and I went to Jay Sarah's practice. Oh, I forgot to mention Jesuit boys won Division II. And then I went down to Southern California and I went to Jay Sarah's practice. They practiced on their track. It's famous because the 10 is run there, where the athletes try to get a 10,000 meter either world or Olympic qualifying time. And the coach there explained to me that there's this hill that blocks the ocean that keeps from the wind from blowing in, and that's why that track is really popular with these meets. But anyway, I watched them do a really tough workout in August, and the girls from Jay Sarah won the Division IV championship in California. And then the last one is I went to Oaks Christian's practice maybe the next day, and that's in Westlake, California. And their boys were Division IV champions, and they were having their first practice in the afternoon because they were starting school in a couple of days, and they wanted to get used to running in the
Goodness.
afternoon. And it was really warm and it was really hot, and so they were just kind of getting used to running in the afternoon. Had a really nice visit with Oaks Christian that won the Division IV. So got to see these great teams, and you just see them all the time. You just see them at different meets, and the coaches and the kids are happy to see me. It's a nice connection that I make with the teams during the summer practices. So that was my number one thing. Sorry it took so long, Todd, but
No, it's great.
watching them.
I have a little story about that. One of the reasons I reached out to you this year is I saw that whole series, what you did, and I kind of did the mini version with some of the high schools in the league here. And I think it's, it's something I hope I can help you out with
Oh,
this next
absolutely.
summer.
We really want to get, try to connect with the Bay Area schools. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So,
Awesome.
well, Todd, thanks for being on our this week's podcast. I really appreciate it.
Never a problem.
Hey, I hope you have a nice holiday season coming up here.
Yeah, you too. I'll be busy with other high school sports, basketball and soccer, and hopefully spending time with my family.
Oh, it'd be wonderful. I am too. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome.
I grew up in Simi Valley, California, and I get to go see my mom and dad. They live in the same house that I grew up in. And
Oh,
so
nice.
I get to do the same runs I did when I was a kid. But Todd, I get to enjoy the runs longer than I did when I was 17.
Yeah, remember the distance hasn't changed though.
Distance hasn't changed. I'm just out there like, where's dad? How come he's been gone for 2 hours? You know, well, I'm doing a 5 mile run. It's a struggle. But anyway, so I'm looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to doing this again. So thanks a lot, Todd. And thank
Yep.
you to our audience members too.
All right, great. Have a great holiday, everyone.
Everybody, West Coast,
Bye.
Best Coast, follow, subscribe. We'll talk to you soon. All right. Bye-bye.